Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord.
Alright, good evening everyone. It's October 28th, 2020. It is 20:06 hours Eastern Daylight Savings Time. It's the last week for that. I am the Fakeologist, otherwise known as Aberrato. That was my original name. Tonight we're going to have Marcus Allen on. And we're also going to have his son on. I was going to interview his son originally. I still think that's going to happen, but Marcus is out on a special mission to, I believe, visit the restaurant that was just acquitted of any wrongdoing in somewhere in Pennsylvania regarding violating the mandate to wear masks or enforce that. In the restaurant. Now I'm going to fakeologist.com/blog. If I can type it in correctly. Fakeologist.com/blog. That is the main site where I post every single day. If you just go to fakeologist.com, it'll take you to a entry screen to screen you basically. Because a lot of people just type that in. I really don't want people to land on the blog and figure out what they're trying to navigate there with all the different posts. So in that case, if you pass the pre-screening, then you go to the second page, which gives all my latest COVID, even though it's already 2 months old. It's hard to keep that page updated because I must put 5 to 10 entries a day on fakeologist.com/blog. And I'm also filling up fakeotube.com with all my favorite videos that may or may not be taken down. So as I'm waiting, I'm going to play a little bit. I'm trying to do some administration here. I just got a wonderful donation from Purple Play. Thank you, Purple Play. Purple Play is a female, a woman from California that was on one of the last Fakeologist audio chats. If you want to check out the Fakeologist, past Fakeologist audio chats, just go to fakeologist.com/radio or go to your favorite podcast player, search up Fakeologist, and you should see two different feeds, Fakeologist or Fakeologist audio chat, two different feeds. The audio chat is random recordings of anyone who can find me on my Discord server at fake11.com/discord. Fake11.com/discord. You will, if you go there, you'll go to an intake room where you have to basically interact and say hi to the moderator. We have many moderators now. We have the moderator, the head moderator is Benoit from Switzerland. We also have a new moderator, More Than a Gal. We also have a couple more. We have Velaset, who works on, does some audio for us. We also have Original Simulant. He's a moderator. And we have Laura Mars, a moderator. So we have lots of moderators. I see on the panel that the only one that's active right now, according to the Discord, is Laura Mars. So you can just greet. They can greet you, and if you are in the right place, you didn't accidentally come to the Fakeologist server, then they will admit you, and you can look around. And at that point, you can also get a voice verification, and then you can get on there to the audio chat, where you can talk with different users. If you're really frisky, you can take someone into the audio chat live stream, and you'll be broadcast to the world and recorded. Fan-frickin-tastic. I know. And I just saw somebody, Chad, just came into the audio chat. He came into the lobby just now, but he just left. I see More Than a Gal. Just dropped in into the moderators as well. So we got people there. Now, let me just put a note in the Discord, because I'm on so many platforms right now, it's hard to notify everyone what I'm doing. So the best way is to go to Fakeologist, to send me an email at Ima@fakeologist.com, or go to fakeologist.com/contact. Get on my mailing list. That'll give you access to the blog comments, and I send out an email when the show's on. If I remember, I'll go to the Discord, make a date channel, and send a blast over there as well. Now I also have Telegram. Oh boy, it's just hard to keep up even for myself. My Telegram is my favorite new app right now. So I'll put a notice into that as well. I have 31 people that follow me on Telegram. Telegram is a really fast WhatsApp-style app that's not owned by the big boys. You can put it on your Mac or your Windows computer as well. So I'm just looking at Skype now. Of course, every time I go into Skype, it wants me to update. Now, what could be so wrong with the app that it needs to update every single time I start it? Very, very annoying. Thank you, Bill Gates. By the way, the intro song I played is my favorite COVID song right now. It's COVID-19. It's Ken Copeland, who's some kind of televangelist preacher who they chopped up his audio, and the video is just as good as the audio. It's absolutely fantastic. Highly recommended. And as a matter of fact, I should create a directory so I can keep track of all the fantastic songs that are being made around COVID. The creativity that's coming out of COVID is amazing. It's just fantastic. So much creativity, so many YouTube channels, so much great work. A lot of them seem real, as in real people, which is great. I'm sure maybe there's the odd plant that's there to disrupt, but overall, just, I love the creativity. And I try and grab my favorite stuff off YouTube as quickly as I can, because it usually gets taken down within minutes now. They're so fast, especially if you're a known quantity. They know who you are. Like Uncle Lod is, he got up to about 700 followers on his YouTube channel. And his videos don't last very long, maybe an hour. So they're obviously watching him. I just see that Benoit says the stream is working fine, I figured. Thank you very much. Gaia gave it a heart. Benoit and Gaia, there's two adversaries that have more in common than they do not in common. And that's the thing about all the fakeologists. We have so much more in common with each other than we do with the outside world. So to fight over small things, we really have to get over it and we have to coalesce. Okay. This woman, now I'm waiting for Marcus. He's going to dial in on Skype. Now, I'm on Skype as Fakeologist. So if you're on Skype, and everyone used to be on Skype back in the day, then you can find me. Just type in Fakeologist in the search, and you could potentially dial in or send me a message that you want to call in. But I suspect that Marcus and I are going to have enough to talk about. We usually do. So, and we're going to speak with his son, Ty. I really want to speak to Ty because he is a young person. And this PSYOP is very, very, very dangerous to young people. I'm very, very upset for the young people in my life because this psychological operation is a tortuous affair. It's awful. I can take it a little more because I've studied PSYOPs for 8 years now. I think I have a PhD in PSYOPery. I was going to name the blog PSYOPcologist, but there's nobody would have been able to spell that. Even I can't even think of how I'd spell that. So I went with Fakeologist. Even I spell Fakeologist wrong occasionally. I just noticed that tonight. But for the most part, it's fake, the whole world, the whole word, plus ologist. Not that hard to find. Now, what I'm doing now, while we're waiting for Marcus, I'm going to play from FakeoTube an Anna Breeze video where she allows for opinions to be put up. You can make a video on your phone and send it in to Anna Breeze. And so many people have done that, hundreds of people. And about one in ten is really good. And this woman, who's some kind of coach, motivational coach, I think, is talking about being masked or not masked. And she did a fantastic job. The video was a little long. I'm going to start playing it now because I have to put my latest donor, Purple Play, up on the donations page, which, by the way, Fakeologist.com/donate. If you like this content, if you like anyone's content, you really need to support it. Now, I want to encourage everyone here, by the way, to use Bitcoin. I'm just starting to get into it. I'm not telling you to put all your money in Bitcoin, but you should use Bitcoin to make donations. Number one, it's fairly anonymous. Number two, and as I said, I'm just learning about it. But number two, it's worldwide. It's a worldwide currency that's not controlled. And one of the things that the COVID, the great coronavirus hoax reset is all about is, I think, controlling the new world currency. I think the gangs at the top are fighting and the EU wants their own digital currency. And I assume they want it to be worldwide. The United States wants their own digital currency. I don't know who's winning the race right now, but I think the de facto standard worldwide accepted currency is Bitcoin, and none of them control it. Now, I don't know who controls it or who's the biggest holder of Bitcoin or if the big banks are behind it or maybe Klaus Schwab is behind it. I don't know. But it seems to be decentralized, and more people are getting into it. And the main thing is not so much that it's going through the roof in terms of value, but it'll be useful and it will go up in value if more people accept it. And I even told my handyman guy today, I said, you should take Bitcoin because it's under the radar. And our Canadian money is being devalued every time they loan out more and more of the Canadian money that we don't have. And they're giving out billions of dollars in the name of COVID, because they've shut the economy down in the name of COVID. And now they're giving out money to get people addicted or hooked or potentially set up. This is my biggest worry, that they're setting people up to take the money from the government because they stop their ability to do business. They'll become addicted to the loan. They're going to get more and more loans. They're going to get deeper in debt as they keep the economy shut. And then the deal with the devil will be offered, just like that email that I thought was a psyop a few weeks ago. All right, here's Marcus. I'm going to put him on. I don't like Skype, but let's go. But let me just finish this thought. So this is the insidious part of the plan. So the Canadian government's giving billions of dollars away to businesses as loans. And most of the loans are forgivable. Most of the loans, I believe, what is it? 33%, I just thought of that now, 33% of the loan, one-third, is forgivable. So they're loaning out $60,000 to small businesses, and you only have to pay back $40,000 in 2 years, if you still have any money. Now, I'm guessing the plan is that you won't be able to pay that back. Then the deal with the devil is, we will wipe out all your debts in exchange for you never owning property again. So say you had some property and you had a huge loan against it that they gave you and you can't pay it back. There's no hope. They'll make a deal with you saying, we'll wipe out all your debt that we loaned to you, but we're going to take your property. And then you have to sign a deal where you'll never be able to own property again. You'll only be able to rent. Now, that was a PSYOP email that I thought was going around. It was leaked from a liberal government. I think it was fake, but maybe there's enough truth in it to make it worth understanding. And really, everything that's happening now leads to the great global virus hoax, coronavirus hoax reset that Klaus Schwab of the Great Reset has laid out. And it's a totalitarian communistic type dictatorship that he wants. And most people here that took high school social geography or wherever they teach the isms know what communism is. You own no private property. Check. Your family's broken up. Check. No religion. Check. The state is the religion. Check. How do we identify how you're a party member? You're wearing a mask. That's a new symbol for the state religion. Check. Everyone's wearing it. Check. All other religions are wiped out. Check. Man, it's evil genius, and it's happening. Now let me talk to Marcus. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Yo. Yo ho, yo ho ho.
What's up, dude?
I was just doing a brilliant intro. I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on in the world, and it's become as more time goes by, it becomes more and more clear.
Okay, and what's that?
Oh my God, I don't know exactly how they're going to do it in the U.S. I'm assuming it's similar, but I'll let you listen back because we're already late. And
yep. My bad, totally. I apologize for that. I never apologize, but it's going to be worth it what I tell you.
Listen, I'm not as anal about it being on time as you are.
No, I'm very anal.
I'm not. There's no need to be anal because I just look at it as an opportunity. I sat down at the computer at 8. I had lots of administration work to do. As you know, I run a bunch of websites. Yep. So I said, the only thing I can't really do well is edit my website and talk at the same time. But I sort of did a little bit. I played a little music. And I just freewheeled. It's no big deal. And it doesn't matter if I pause and don't continuously talk to the two people that are listening right now. Because most people can fast forward anyway later. And most people don't listen live. So it's not a big deal to me. It's just that I have limited time in the evening because I do get up early. But I don't make a big deal. If you were an hour late, it would have been really annoying. But 20 minutes to me is no big deal.
Yeah, I understand. And it depends if you keep doing it. Like people who are typically late, they do it all the time, which is annoying.
That's passive aggressive. That's what it is. It's you wait for me. I don't wait for you. That's what it is.
Okay. Or they're just, they don't respect your time. It just comes down to that.
Well, it could be that too. They could just be, just disorganized. But
there's
I was
a guy, Dan Kennedy, in the marketing field. He gives you one strike and you're out. If you're late once, never again.
Yeah, I'm more forgiving.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I'm more forgiving. Now I'm trying to find the post of the restaurant in Pennsylvania where you live.
Mm-hmm.
That bust. What did they do? They were let off the hook. Why can't I find it? Pennsylvania. Oh,
Beacon of Unreported Hope.
Right, yeah. I'm so cryptic with my titles, I can't even find it myself. So it said here, a family restaurant in Pennsylvania, and I was going to look up where in Pennsylvania to see if it was near to you, but yep. I just forgot to do it. But a family restaurant in Pennsylvania has won a major victory against COVID-19 restrictions in their state with a court finding the $10,000 fine they were hit with unenforceable. And that was in Rebel News, which is a Canadian alternative media site, which I think is doing some pretty good work, although they might be controlled. But so far, they're doing the most entertaining anti-COVID, anti-mask work where I live. So that's where the story was published. I don't know if it was published in some of the places you're at. I guess it was. It's probably big news. So it's called The Taste of Sicily, Mamma Mia. And it's in Lebanon County, so I'm guessing that's near to where you live, because I think you went there today.
Not only that, that's the reason I'm late, because I interviewed the owner and her mom and talked about all kinds of things, and it is not in the news at all. I had no idea. I don't watch the news, but I would certainly hear about it. And there are things that they told us, me and my wife actually, that is kind of shocking and disturbing.
Wait, you got this?
We get to talk about that.
You got this story from the fakeologist.com blog? Breaking news?
Breaking news.
Wow, and you actually went out in the field and did. Oh man, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, have you ever heard of Hershey, Pennsylvania, as in Hershey candy bars?
Absolutely. Yes, I've never been there. But that actually, 2 years ago, I was going to drive to Washington. That was our holiday, but we never made it. And we definitely were going to go through that way, because that's really the way to Washington, D.C., or one of the ways.
I apologize for the noise. We're hooking ties up.
All right.
Headphones here.
And for anyone listening, tonight, well, I didn't really announce it. Because I didn't have time to write up the announcement till half an hour before the show. But tonight was the night where we agreed to interview your son, Ty, who did his first blog, or podcast, rather, on your podcast a week ago.
That is correct. That is correct, sir.
And I was going to interview him, not so much to dig up garbage on you, because that would be rude.
That's true.
But I thought
if you do that, by the way.
He was too easy on you. I think you were intimidating him in the last audio, so you're probably giving him hand signs. So he was very easy on you, but I think he could be a little tougher.
I don't know what you're talking about. He said I was annoying.
Yeah, if that's the worst he thinks about you, then you got nothing to worry about.
And Ty wants to know if he can speak right now.
Ty, welcome to the Fakeologist Show.
Thank you. It's funny. I never thought there'd be a dad actually talk to you.
Why?
Never in my dreams thought.
Oh, I hope you're not. I hope you never dreamed of the Fakeologist.
I don't know. I guess 2020 just changed everything for me. My dad always asked me in the past, and I just roll my eyes. Because I've listened to pretty much every single podcast, probably, in the car with my family, so.
The Fakeologist podcast? Yeah. Or other podcasts?
Oh, yeah, the Fakeologist podcast.
I love it. Well, did you listen to the first one where your dad came on and sort of derailed me? Because that's the one that... That's the one that I remember the most, because it was the first one. Did you listen to that?
I don't think so. Well, first of all, I am not my dad. I'm a separate person. So that's...
I'm really glad you said that, because one Marcus Allen is enough.
I just have to live with him.
I just literally said in the car, I wish there were 10 of me. I've said that before. So I could talk to someone. But you're right, there is only
I think you can talk to other people. You don't talking to yourself is pretty boring. I actually, you know, our children are usually up into a certain age reflections of us. So we'll say things, we'll curse, we'll have sayings, and we'll hear them back from our children. We'll think, who says that? And then you realize, oh, I say that. And they're giving you some of you back, and it's not always, I don't like to hear myself back. So I don't want to hear myself echo.
Yeah. He does.
Yeah.
Do. Well, that's, a narcissist.
I'm an audio narcissist. Not in real life video narcissist, but audio I just enjoy hearing what I have to say. I mean, practice it. As you know, I keep telling you that.
Well, you're saying an audio narcissist. Are you sure you're not just a plain old narcissist in general?
No, because when I go to the gym, I cannot stand even for a second looking at – I'm not a bad-looking guy. I just – it's ridiculous that people look at themselves incessantly at the gym as they're flexing. I can't stand that.
But it's okay to obsess over your speaking voice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm an audio narcissist.
Okay, well, I don't –
this might be a Marcus Down bashing show. Sorry.
Let's do it.
No, there's weight. You know, the problem is that's indulging the narcissist. So if we talk too much about the narcissist, then he's just going to get off on it. We don't want that.
No, come on. Keep talking about me, man.
No. Well, first of all, we'll talk to Ty more than you. But you guys have a hot story now, so it totally derails the whole point of the show because we have
the breaking news and then go into Ty?
Well, sure, if Ty's okay with it.
Yeah, that's fine. Should I stay out of it in the first part then?
No, you stay right on the mic. Can you get closer to the mic, or are you guys sharing a mic?
No, we got two separate.
Is that mics. Better?
Yeah, because you're a little echoey, which means you're not quite on the mic. No, that's good. Yes, I want you to sound better than your dad. Because your dad, he always skews the audio. He always skews the audio so the guests don't sound good. It's a little trick. Okay, Ty, did you go with your parents to the restaurant?
I did.
Okay. Well, let's hear it from you. I want you to give the first impression of what happened. Is that – can your dad take that?
I see how this is going to go. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear it. Give us the reporting. Give us the breaking news on this restaurant that's busting, that's breaking the – what do you want to call it? Mandate, the rule, but it's not a law. Go.
Yeah. So we walk up to the door and there's a sign – that says instead of saying it's mandatory to wear a mask, it says there's nowhere it says you have to wear a mask. And then
wait. Let me stop you there. How did you guys get the idea to go to this restaurant? How did that happen? How did you guys make that happen?
So my dad found out about it online, right?
On fakeologist.com.
It's
okay.
I turned off my microphone, so you can't hear me. So go ahead.
Oh, he really took himself out of the picture, eh?
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, so we thought it would be a little – we make a little adventure out of it and
– How far away is it from your house?
So it was about an hour away.
Wow. You guys really went out of the way for it.
Yeah, we live in the countryside, so it's not that far. Like, okay. It seems normal at this point.
Did he let you drive?
Oh, no, I did not drive. Nope.
Okay. Do you drive?
I do. I just don't like driving my family because this is going to be a Marcus bashing show. He's just
he's up your ass on it.
Go over the speed limit at all. He's always talking, you know. Oh, you know, you turn too fast. But. I mean, I think I'm a pretty good driver, and I think I'm a good driver because of his pickiness. But I don't.
Did
drive
he teach
with Marcus
you?
Allen. I'm sorry.
Did he teach you how to drive?
He did.
Oh no!
You know what? He did a fine job.
That's usually a no-no. You never let your father or mother, because now you're going to have all his bad habits. Potentially.
Even though he is very hard on stuff, he actually does what he says what he does.
Okay.
I mean, he's probably full of crap on other things, but not that.
Okay, so he didn't pay for someone else to teach you.
Oh, no.
Because he's cheap.
He's been teaching me things all along. Like, just he's always telling me little notes. And
mm-hmm. That's yeah. Okay. Well, if he's a good driver, and I think he loves to drive, as he said in the past, I'm sure he knows the rules of the road pretty well. And unless he gets into crashes he doesn't tell us about, I'm sure he's a fine driver. It's just hard to tell your children what to do, especially when it comes to driving. But anyway.
Definitely. That seems frustrating to teach.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of emotion involved. Whereas if you're taking advice from a so-called expert, it's hard to get mad at them.
Definitely.
Okay, so he didn't let you drive, so you decided to take a drive to the restaurant. Okay.
Okay, so then, actually, we have a picture of what the sign said on the door. So it's just like a 8x11 piece of copy paper, and it says there is no statutory law that
statutory.
Mandates masks. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
Statutory. Yeah.
Wow.
It's okay.
Already blew that.
Hey, and listen. It's okay. You're doing great.
Thank you. All right. And then it said you're not required to wear a mask unless you're comfortable doing so. And then no business can discriminate against your entry if you cannot wear a mask. Call the sheriff if you are harassed or intimidated. And then the last bullet point says only a doctor can recommend you to wear a mask, not a store, not the government. And then there's a website link to the healthyamerican.org.
Ah, Peggy Hall. Love that
yeah.
woman.
Yeah. I actually know her. We listen to her.
She might be the happiest, most upbeat person I've ever met that's not on drugs.
You don't think she is?
I hope she's not.
But I mean, she's a little too happy for 2020.
I know, but she's so upbeat and so positive. Just, you want to know what is she sniffing or, but I'm hoping she's totally natural. She has a very Christian feel, and Christian people are almost always good people. So I'm sure she doesn't do anything wrong, but, and her husband, I believe, is a preacher. So, okay, that's great. So you saw the sign. What was next?
And then, we walk in the door and there's this red light, like an actual red light plugged in, lit up, and there were Trump flags connected to it. And then on the red light, do you have the picture? Did you take a picture of that?
No, I didn't.
I think it just said Wolf and Levine suck. And that's so Wolf is the governor of Pennsylvania.
And then,
And then Levine is the secretary of what would you call her position?
Health.
Secretary of Health.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've seen him.
That's blaring at you when you walk in the door.
Wow. And did you get a picture of that or no?
I took a picture of it. I have it.
Oh, good. We're going to have a whole blog post from you guys, I hope, with pictures awesome. And all that.
Yeah, and then I immediately looked at all the staff, and you could just see that they've been through so much. Like, you could just see it in their eyes that they've been through so much stuff in the past 6-7 months. They probably aged. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could just see the stress. And then every time someone walked in, they'd be like, oh, well, have you been here before? They'd make sure to ask that first.
Mm-hmm.
But no one came in with a mask, right? No.
One person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think they had it on the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they were going to read the room. That's what we do, I think. Mm-hmm. You sort of read the room before you go in.
Sure. Do you guys eat out a lot at restaurants?
Yeah, not as much as we used to. But yeah, I'm a restaurant person. I don't know. I'm just so disgusted by the world this year. I just like being away from people.
Yeah, well, everyone is. Believe me, everyone is. It's really frustrating for people like us that know what's going on because we're a super minority right now, and it's really almost dangerous in a way. I don't really want to spread fear, but it's the danger is the people around us. So,
definitely, and it feels alone unless you talk to people like you.
I appreciate that. Well, I make it a point of talking to people like me and people that come to the website because they are my therapy. They're the sanity. They're the sane guys in the world. And I'm glad I knew them before this started because I know that I know where they come from. I know most of their history in the sense that I know that this just didn't wake them up. They've been awake for a long time, and we've sort of been waiting for a big one. I was hoping it wasn't this big.
Yeah, seriously. Only 2 weeks, right? Only 2 weeks.
Oh, it's just... Okay, so what happened? You went in, and what happened next?
So I'm the person in the family that sort of avoids the noise. So my dad usually goes and talks and orders, and then I sit down and I just observe. So my dad went into it right away, of course. And, you know, everyone circled around him, all the workers, and it was really nice. I couldn't stop smiling. It was like first time I've smiled that hard in a long time.
The workers circled Dad?
They did. He loves that. He eats that stuff up. I do too, but it
okay.
feels good. It feels
well,
really good.
How did, why did they start circling Dad? Did they all want to take his spaghetti order?
They wanted his autograph. I mean.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I was only half listening. I mean, mm-hmm. you'd have to ask the man himself, but I guess they were just talking about, because they got fined $20,000.
Mm-hmm. That two different fines
was
or
it
one?
$10,000? Sorry, $10,000. Okay. I was just corrected.
Mm-hmm.
I was only half listening. I don't know all the details, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Well, Marcus will fill us in on the details.
And
but,
he will.
So what happened next? You had dinner or did you just have to sit there and listen to your dad for go on? Did you guys eat at all?
That's a lot... Nope, we didn't eat at all. We just
oh, did, had you already had dinner?
You. No, we did eat and then I was just sort of observe. I was really, oh no, I was eating, but I wasn't really thinking about the food. I was just mm-hmm. so blown away by the whole experience and mm. everyone that came in were, you know, they all had the Trump gear on, and I don't know. That's also frustrating. It's like I can relate to these people so much, but
mm-hmm.
obviously I have the same beliefs as my dad on politics where I think it's probably all already pre-planned.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's like if I felt at home, but I also didn't,
mm-hmm.
which is really frustrating.
And your mother and your brother were there as well?
Yeah, my brother stays out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he listens to my dad. I was definitely, growing up, I definitely would know, you know, say no to my dad a lot and argue with him tooth and nail. But my brother seems to just go along with it a lot better. I guess the second child, you learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the oldest usually takes all the guff because you're the one that they practice on because they've never had a child before. So you take all the practice as a child, and they're practicing on you because they've never had a child before. And the second one gets it easier normally because the parents know how to be parents a little bit better. And by the third, they usually just sort of start to get ignored because it's, yeah, you do whatever you want. We know how this is all going to work out in the end anyway. So why get too worked up about every little detail, I guess, is the way it works.
Yeah. And I don't want to get too off the path here, but just growing up, I mean, I think it was around the time my brother was born. So, forget what, maybe like 2005, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
That's when my dad really got down the rabbit hole, I guess you would say, mm-hmm. with all this stuff. So,
well, how old were you? How did you notice that? Because wouldn't you be quite young then to notice, or?
I was, but in elementary school, just noticing the difference between like my schoolmates and I,
mm-hmm.
you know, on certain topics, mm-hmm. and definitely had a lot of negative effects. I always think like, is it better that I know all of this stuff?
Mm.
I mean, because I've gone through hell and back because of some of these things.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
So, I don't know. I'm glad I know, but a lot of pain comes with it, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a saying that ignorance is bliss. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
What does that mean to me? I don't know, but...
Well, ignorance means not knowing. And bliss is happiness. So do you think if you didn't know any of this, you'd be happier?
Yeah, that's the thing that I I go back and forth on, because everyone else right now lives in fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sort of live in fear over different things mm-hmm. than most people right now. I'm fearing the government. I'm not fearing this virus, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I guess we all live in fear at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends.
So do you believe there's a virus that can kill you, that you can get from anyone out there, even if they look healthy?
I mean, I think it could be. I'm not a doctor or anything, but I feel like it could be.
Neither are the people acting as doctors.
I feel like it could be a real virus, but they just used it as an excuse and went along with it, called it COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been waiting my whole life for something to happen, because my dad's been warning me my whole life. Like, mm-hmm. I always thought there'd be like another, not to get too down in it, but like I thought there'd be another 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is our next 9/11.
Sure.
You know, where there's, you know, like with 9/11, like the, you know, you go to the airport, you have to go through a metal detector. So now you have to get your temperature checked. You have to, mm-hmm. you know, take a COVID test. Like, I feel like it's just an updated version of it.
Sure. This 9/11 2.0.
Listen, I'll take 9/11 over this any day. I'm sorry.
Well, 9/11 was just a day, and a lot of people slept in, and some people didn't even notice, or they didn't really react to it in the same way. But this is 9/11 every single day with an update. So that's,
I know. I
that's
think
the difference.
To give credit to everyone that lives every day, like, how is everyone not dead at this point? Like, who wants to live? I mean, that's a lot on someone.
It really, you know, is. Oh, I do know what you mean, because I have a young person in my house that's your age, 1 year less, and she missed out on her graduation. She misses her friends dreadfully, because as girls often rely on their friends more than boys.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually got a scholarship to go to England this year. And
wow.
Of course, that's canceled, and she's doing the online thing that is horrible compared to everything else that goes along with the university experience.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also no real hope of, well, for sure, the thing she was accepted to was just a first year course. The second year she'd be back here in Canada. So it's not offered to the second and third and fourth year. So if she misses it, which she is missing it, then even if they start things back up next year, because this year it's already been announced it's canceled for the whole year up until April, she probably wouldn't get to go anywhere overseas, because it's not a second year program. So she'd be over here. So she has got two whacks. One high school was basically derailed in March, and it pretty much ended in March. And I even said to her, I don't think you're going back. Mm-hmm. I hope you are, but I don't think you will. So, and she's isolated from all her friends. She has a big friend group, and of course, they hardly got together at all because their parents wouldn't let them out of their basements, that kind of thing. So yeah, it's horrible. And the worst part, like you said, is the hope has been removed, right? And it's clear the hope is going to stay removed. So that's why I feel super badly for young people like you and my daughter. I feel horrible, because it's your future. And now's when men my age have to stand up for their families, and your dad is probably the same way. Mm-hmm. And we have to fight for your future. Our lives are two-thirds of the way done, statistically speaking. And people, our parents, they're in the last inning of their lives. So even though it's nasty, it's miserable for them, they don't have a whole lifetime to have to worry about this if it keeps going. But you guys really got the short end of the stick. So you are the guys I really feel terrible for. And people that can fight for you guys should. So at least your dad is on the right team, even though it's a really small team.
Yeah, Well, thank you for doing what you do, because
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm trying. I don't get in the faces of restaurant owners, but I can do, I do my part. We can't all do everything. So I promote the ideas, and hopefully people can come and meet other people like your dad or whoever listens to the show and try and get some inspiration and hope. That's all I can do. And if I can, and if I can give you hope, and you a little bit of energy, and if you can spread it to two friends and so on and so on and so on, like the old commercials, then that's a good thing.
Yeah, about our generation. I don't even know if, like, do I even want to bring children into this world? That is another thing, and that goes into depopulation and all sorts
of things.
Oh, yes,
it does.
But, I would feel so guilty bringing someone into this. I mean, I know some people that had children this year, and all they know is they've never seen a maskless world.
Oh, I know. It's
that
terrible.
Is child abuse.
I agree.
Honestly.
I agree.
So sad.
100%. But, you know, we're put on this earth to live and try and live well, and we have to just work around the rules and or come right up against the rules and try and knock them down. So I don't think we should let them win, because you have every right to live on this earth as a free man, as anybody else. And really, if you just spend your whole life fighting the system to make the world better, at least your life has a purpose. So I really want to spread a message of don't give up. Just walk away from the dead people, like your dad's always said. It's impossible. Don't try and wake up the dead. You have to just work with the people that are alive and make some kind of community out of that, whether it's through the internet, whether if you can do it in person, it's even better. But that's what you have to do, because you have just, you only have one life, and you have to try and make it a worthwhile life, because there is no other alternative. There is no other alternative, and you should never even think of another alternative. You have to do what you can. And if you just do a podcast for your generation, spread truth that way, then I think you're doing a lot. Well, you're doing way more than the average person.
Absolutely. And I personally, I guess it comes down to having a purpose. I have been, this year has actually been probably my favorite year on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all of this, I think I've been the most fulfilled and content this year.
Mm-hmm.
Despite everything. So I don't know, thinking back to last year, you know, life was, normal, but I wasn't as happy as I am right now, a year ago today.
You were in high school. Last year?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't in high school. Okay.
No, I was free as a bird back then too.
Oh, okay. So you were in, you'd finished high school at that point?
Yeah, I was fresh out.
Oh, okay.
Fresh out last fall.
So you were just looking for something to do. You were looking for a purpose.
I was. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing has created a new purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And I've always supported my dad in all this, but like I said, I never thought I'd be talking to you. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I didn't think I'd be talking to you. But I figured Marcus would eventually talk to you, because he's talked about you for a long time. And as you may know, I was never a member of his website where I was listening to all the archives, but I came on in 2012 and just really started from there. I really didn't pay a lot of attention to the past, because most of the stuff I like to look forward. But I have been going through his archives in the last few months, and your dad really understood what was happening even way back then, before I got here. So there's a lot of great stuff your dad did, and I guess people can access it through his website even today. So it's definitely worth going through, if only to see what he said in 2008, how it applies in 2020. Were some of his trends and projections accurate? And a lot of them were.
Definitely. I feel, I'm a little biased because it's my dad, but I feel like he's always ahead of the curve, and then he looks crazy. Mm-hmm. And then everyone catches on later. Seems right. to be the common theme with anyone in this.
A lot of people.
In the truth scene.
Yeah, your dad is one of the few people to get the total picture. Lots of people have pieces of it. They don't have the whole puzzle. Your dad is probably one of the closest to having what we think is the complete puzzle figured out. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, can't really predict the future. If you could, then everyone would follow. But we can take some good guesses just by all the clues that we're given and try and figure it out. And sometimes it can benefit us if we know what's coming down the line. At least we are ready for it and we're not going to be shocked or completely panicked because we have good clues that we pick up on and we try and adapt and pivot the situation.
Yeah, I was definitely more prepared for this than most people. I mean, I've been waiting my whole life for something like this to happen. So mm-hmm. I felt like back in January when you first started seeing this COVID stuff on the news, I sort of felt it in the back of my head, you know, mm-hmm. my brain, that this could possibly be something. And I definitely was not shocked when the 2-week thing came along. Mm-hmm. And then it was another month, and then here we are.
Yeah, I'd have to read later. My notes because I don't even remember what I was thinking in January. I'd really have to look at my blog and just see what I was posting and see what words I was putting down because everything has been so fast and so totally overwhelming that it's really tough to keep track of what I was thinking unless you make some kind of notes. So yeah, these would be great days to keep a diary just so you can see what you're thinking for that day, what you're thinking about the future. All right, so what else can you tell us about the restaurant before we let your dad come in and give his side of the story?
Let me think here.
So you went in, he had an audience, you didn't eat. What was your mother doing? She was
with me. She was just, you know, minding her own business but listening. Mm-hmm. And then some of the other people sitting down eating, you know, these are I'm going to be real. They're hicks. They're like Trump hick mm-hmm. kind of people.
Yeah.
They were all leaning in listening to my dad and they're like, "Oh, what's your podcast name?" And
right.
They were all eavesdropping. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the only reason people were at this place was for that reason, I think.
Because he was infamous, he was in the news. So all these people were just visiting. They weren't regulars that normally go there.
Oh no! People were even coming in and just buying. They had like they make tomato sauce. They have their own tomato sauce. Mm-hmm. People were just buying that to support them.
Oh really?
And it was just I think it was just a good excuse to talk to them because people want someone to talk to. So it just makes a good excuse.
Oh, really? So people were just there because they were infamous. Then maybe they were infamous even before this thing hit the news.
I haven't heard of it, and it's so close to our house. That was the first time I've heard of it. I mean, there was a diner around us that picked up on social media. Mm-hmm. Similar, you know, they had all these fines, and to make up for all the fines, they set up a stand where you can buy Confederate flags mm-hmm. and Trump flags, and they raise money to pay it off, all the fines.
Interesting.
So the stereotypes, there's so many stereotypes with this stuff too, and I just can't relate to any of it. I feel like my dad and I are on a little island, along with like you mm-hmm. and some other people, mm-hmm. that can see above even that layer.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about. All right, will you be doing another podcast with your dad, or will you do it on your own?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe someday. This has definitely been a learning experience doing the first two. I'm starting to get more comfortable with it. I just was struggling hearing myself in the headset. I couldn't do both, but now I'm used to it.
Yeah, I don't listen to my own voice in my headset, actually. I don't have that set up. I never have that set up. One person said I could do that. I did it once. There was a tiny bit of a delay, so it was a little distracting. But I just look at my audio meter to see how loud my voice is coming in. I can see I'm probably over-modulating a little bit right now. But I don't listen to my own voice because I never really did it in the first place. So I guess the only real reason would be just to check your levels. But you can turn that off if you don't want to hear your own voice. You can just speak as if you're being heard and not have to worry about what you sound like.
So yeah, my dad just had it on because he likes to hear himself, so.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, what other reason would it be?
That's true. Well, you can turn that setting off. I don't use it.
I'll turn his off, too. he wouldn't do it.
All right. Well, it was a good chat, and because we started late, and Marcus is probably going to have a lot to say, and I don't want to go too late. We can reconvene and talk more about the past with Marcus, but I think we should get this story out because it's hot and it's totally relevant. But why don't you stay on the mic so if your dad is at a loss for words, you can fill in.
Yeah. Well, it was nice finally actually talking to you. I feel like I've known you forever.
Oh, my God. That's great. I had no idea that Marcus let you listen to me. I thought you would only be allowed to listen to his old shows.
No. You've been a part of my life, even though we've never talked.
Oh, my God. That's an honor. I think you've listened to me more than my own children, because I'm pretty sure they've never listened to one of my shows ever.
Well, I was going to say that I know, didn't your daughter come on a podcast?
She did. That was just an impromptu interview at the beach. I thought, well, let's play with this phone a bit and see if the interview function works on it, where I speak into one end and she speaks into the other. It was more just to test that, but I thought I'd ask a few questions. But I even asked her to come on tonight, but she's not in a great mood.
Oh, because I thought it would be interesting to see how our opinions differ. You know,
I don't know how truthy a child she is, honestly, but that's something we could ask her in an interview and find out what she's absorbed.
I'd be so curious to know, because there's only a few of us out there.
Yeah, well, my other daughter is in school on the other side of the lake, and I think we could easily have a great round table. Where if you want to even get your brother, if he can talk to this, then we could try. We could have a big group truth conversation of everyone of the youth. I think that would be fantastic.
That would be great.
That would be really
great. I'll do some convincing.
Yeah, and while you're at it, convince your dad to use Discord and not Skype because...
Oh, God, don't even go there.
It's a lot easier to get people on the same call. And I can adjust volume, so if someone's low, I can pump them up. I can't do any of that on Skype, and I don't like Bill Gates, and he owns Skype, and I don't really want to give him anything more than this Windows machine. So if you could get on, your dad has some allergic reaction to certain software. He thinks it's after him. Don't think.
No.
Hey, this isn't your time.
No, he said to come back.
So if you could, it would just be easier to conference everyone. So if we did have a youth conference, which I really would like to do, because you guys are the future, we're not doing this so much for ourselves anymore. We're doing it for you because this is your world more than it is ours, and we have to shape it properly. So if you could... Unless you can find a better piece of software, I don't like Zoom. I actually find it really aggravating. And I find Discord is probably the best for now. So if you could get an account there and you could talk and then I'll get my children on, we can see if we can have a conference. And I think it would be fantastic.
No, ain't going to happen. I'm not doing Discord.
But Ty has his own machine though, probably by now. So Ty, you could do it. And we
don't listen to him. Don't listen to him.
You're an adult, and you could just leave him totally out of it if you want.
Let's do it.
Go for it.
I'm down. I'm not even kidding.
Good luck with that Discord as it craps out and chops.
You know what? We are going to try it, and you can just mind your business.
Okay.
It actually is a little choppy on the mobile, but I find it pretty good on the on the desktop.
All right, cool. I will. I promise you.
All right, good chat, Ty. You did a great job.
Thank
I think
you.
One day you'll pass your dad easily.
Oh, I can't wait. I wish it would happen, like, tomorrow.
All this Marcus slander, I love it.
It's not slander, actually. It's actually a good thing if you could be better than your dad. I hope my children are better than me. I really do. That would be the ultimate.
I think he's already better than me.
That would be the ultimate tribute, honestly, if you could make someone better than you.
Absolutely, yep.
Because let's face it, the elite of the world, all their children go usually into their family business. And if they want to keep the thing going, they have to be very good, hopefully better than they are, so they can take it to the next level. So just ask any Rockefeller or any of the other elite families. So we're not at the elite level at this point because we don't build on ourselves. We just go our own way and then we just peter out and fizzle out in the world. So we have to try and stay in the family business, I think, a little bit more. Anyway.
He's gone. His mic has been shut off. He's back to his little office.
Ah.
There he goes.
Okay, good. Well, he can listen in at fake11.com/stream1 if he wants to just listen in on his device, whatever he's got.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Marcus.
I have a bunch of notes that while I was listening. So about the headphone. When I go like this, I'm like distracted, and I can hear in my headphone that I'm not close enough to the mic.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The only reason I wear the headphone. It's not to hear my voice. Trust me. I don't want
to
hear my
voice. It's to hear your levels. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
About the circling around me, it's only because when I – see, one thing that I have – you know, I'm good at a lot of stuff, but the one thing I'm really proud of being good at is having courage. Mm-hmm. And I will go into a place like I own the place – and I'll be like, isn't this fucking bullshit, this COVID shit? And I don't care what people think. So knowing how they feel about COVID and lockdowns and not wearing masks and plexiglass and all the rest of it, I went in there with my same spiel. And that's why I had a crowd around me. I mean, it was a no-brainer that I'd have a crowd around me. And it's great. It's fantastic to be with like-minded people.
Is that the first time that's happened to you, walking into a
– No.
Oh, okay.
No, I did – I was Mr. X. I was a special guest in Orlando, Florida for a marketing conference.
Mm-hmm.
And then people knew it was me, and a lot of them were subscribers to my daily newsletter at the time. I did daily. I always do daily stuff. And I got there, and my flight was at 5:30 in the morning, and there were still a circle of people around me at the hot tub at 3:30 in the morning. It's because I'm talking about how to make money for these people. It's like a very hot, passionate topic for them. So –
mm-hmm.
That's not the first time it's ever happened to me. You know, but typically when I raise my voice, you know, my family, yeah, even just a couple months ago, they would hide underneath the tables when we'd go out. And I'd say, isn't this bullshit? What do you think about blah, blah, blah? And so it happens a lot where the people circle around me. I've only, as I told you before, I've only had one major incident where someone wanted to kill me mm-hmm. for me not wearing a mask.
Well, I thought you were going to talk about your wife.
No, she doesn't want to kill me.
No, not today.
Not today. No.
All right, let's get back to the story. So you read, went to the blog, and you immediately decided to get in your car and head up there.
Yeah, that's what I do, man. I put 50,000 miles on my car each year.
Okay, but how did you get your?
If there's any excuse to get out of the house, we do it.
Okay.
And as soon as my wife came home, I said, "We're going out." And she's like, oh, you're going to that place you're telling us about? I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be a good idea. So we did. It was a total 3-hour trip, including eating. And it was like going back to the good old days. It was absolutely fantastic, a dream come true to be able to walk in, not have to worry about what's on the door, walk in, see like-minded people. I don't know what Tyler was talking about with them all being hicks. That I didn't think that was the case. Mm-hmm. There were a couple that were kind of hickish.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are?
No, not at all. We're very professional looking, I would say.
All right.
And we don't wear Trump shirts. You know, we're not Trump. We're not political. We don't wear MAGA hats and all that kind of stuff. The owners were clearly into Trump. I mean, it was all over the place. Fine. And I went up to him. I said, listen, I don't have a lot of time, but we want to eat here. Love what you're doing. I do a little show about this kind of stuff. And would you be up for doing a quick interview after I eat your food? and they were delighted to be involved. We didn't have enough time because we're going to be really late because things – it got busy real quick for some reason. Uh-huh. And I talked to her for maybe 10, 15 minutes, asked her a bunch of questions, and she revealed a bombshell. But I'd like to reveal that right now.
All right. Can you play any of this? Do you have any
– I didn't record any of it.
Oh, you didn't record anything?
No.
How do we know you were there?
I have pictures if you'd like to see it. I'll send you pictures. Yeah.
Okay. Well, send me anything you think I can post.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll send you all three.
Okay. Okay, you didn't record it. Were you going to record it?
I was going to record it, but then it got super busy, and all the people were walking in. Hey, I saw you on TV with the lawyer. Hey, we heard about the no mask. It was one person after another. It was like this floodgate opened up, and I'm like, oh, man, we're going to be really late. I'm just going to try to – and she was in – you know, she was cooking the food and I'm like, listen, can I just ask you a bunch of quick questions? I got to roll. We got to meet up with someone at 8 o'clock and do the show.
Okay.
So basically the bombshell is she was fined $10,000 in May, I think it was, because we were locked down where you couldn't have indoor dining for 2 months. Okay. She – allowed indoor dining and took the it was the plexiglass that got her in trouble. She had plexiglass up. We saw the hooks, the ridiculous hooks. She took it down because she knew the virus is bullshit. And that's when the Department of Health came in and wrote them up for $10,000. What's interesting, fascinating in fact, is the Governor Wolf himself made an example out of her after winning this made an example of her and two other – see, they formed an alliance. This pizza place formed an alliance of restaurants who kind of like that one with Peggy Hall, you know, make restaurants great again, something right. like that. They formed their own alliance of like two or three people maybe. And what happens is Governor Wolf literally took the county that they were in, the entire county – did not allow it to go to green status because of those three people, withheld CARES money, you know, the stimulus from the entire county, and that got publicized in the newspaper. So now everyone in the county hated these three people. How fucking evil is that?
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, these guys have trillions of dollars. No lie. I published that a couple different ways.
Kaffer.
Trillions of dollars. The money is so huge. It's most people can't imagine it. And we heard a little bit on the Uncle Odd show with John J. Singleton. He was explaining a bit of it. And the people, yeah, it's happening everywhere. It's the money.
Forget the money. The money has nothing to do with it. What they did, and let me repeat this because this is important. They literally had the entire county of Pennsylvania, this one county, stay in the red and blamed it on the three business owners.
I got that, yeah. But
that is so evil.
Mm-hmm. So they became public enemy number one in that county.
That's right.
What is the county? Lebanon County.
I thought it was Allegheny or something, but it's not.
Well, the story says Lebanon County.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I remember thinking, why is this – in the middle of nowhere, Hershey, Pennsylvania is in the middle of Pennsylvania. It's nowhere. Mm-hmm. Why would there be this COVID where they're still in the red? Now I know. Mm-hmm. But here's the good news.
It's political retribution. That's all it is.
Yep. The good news is business, they say, has never been better in their entire time that they've been there.
Mm-hmm.
This, with the combination of what – and I'll put it in the notes. Let me remind myself here. Let's see.
Let me look how big Lebanon County is with the help of Google, if it will do that. Oh, yeah. It's an interesting shape, Lebanon County. It's a upside-down trapezoid. It appears to follow a line that makes absolutely no sense. You know, normally a county's on a river or – it literally – it's a bizarre county that – doesn't really have much logic. It cuts right through state game lands number 80. Yep. That's why would it cut right through the middle of that? So it's interesting, the counties. Counties are very we have counties in Canada, but they almost are never mentioned because I don't think they have any real infrastructure that is attributed to them, whereas counties in the United States are very important units of government. And I believe there's over 3,000 counties in the United States.
And I did not know that.
But I think just because of the decentralized nature of the United States, where they want to, I think the design was to always try and keep the power as close to the people as possible. So the county sheriff, the county offices, they are the most important unit of government, I think, to most Americans. They know their county sheriff. The counties have their own police forces, normally, I believe. And it's a great model of decentralization, where here in Canada, we have cities and mostly, cities and I guess regional governments outside of the cities where I live. I don't think we really think of counties the same way. We don't have county sheriffs. We have one police force for the whole province, unless you're in a city. So we have a more centralized government. That's easier to be abusive because it's farther away from the people. And I think that's why most people don't know this, but each county administers all the elections, county, state, federal. Am I right?
Not political, so I have no idea.
So what is the point of that? Well, in Canada, we have one agency that handles the federal election. So these people are centralized throughout the country. They all work for the same guy. In the United States, the counties handle all the elections. So for there to be election fraud on a national level is really impossible because every single county prints the ballots, counts the ballots, whatever way they want to do it. There's no one way. And that's why, and same with the public health. Usually the public health officer is in every county. And then they send their information up to the state. So it's very decentralized. So the information doesn't always flow very quickly in so many different agencies. But that is the beauty of decentralization. It's less likely to be corrupted on a grand scale. Of course, there can be local corruption. But people need to realize that even the election for president, the votes are counted and gathered and printed and processed in every single county. There's no national set. There's no national setup for it. Anyway, it's really an important point, I think.
If you're into politics,
yeah. Well, everyone is into politics this week for the next 2 weeks, and then it'll sort of die off a bit. You're not, but you were talking about the restaurant and Trump. So anyway, let's get back to the restaurant.
Okay. The other thing I learned is. They were they didn't have to pay for a lawyer. That was a GoFundMe account. So that helps with the courage aspect of it. But what's amazing, and she admitted this, the owner, is that she was willing to help other businesses take their win and help them open. And no one wants to take it. And I've seen this. It's almost like my neighbor jokes with me that I'm into conspiracy dust, like there's conspiracy dust floating around, like chemtrails stuff. I really do start to believe that there is just this immersion of hopelessness right now, where you would think a business person would do anything to save their business, and here she's handing the keys to the kingdom. Like, here's exactly how you do it. You have nothing to lose but your business. Why don't you just do it? And no one's doing it. Which is shocking because, again, a Pennsylvania federal judge and a Michigan federal judge have both ruled that the lockdowns are unconstitutional. You combine this with this lawsuit that just got won a week ago. Every business should be like, hallelujah, let's open, let's get rid of it all. But that's not going to happen, unfortunately.
And what are they waiting for? Because you guys don't have the stimulus packages because your decentralized nature like we do in Canada. You've only got one stimulus check. I don't know where the next one is, if they even agreed to it or they're just going to fight over it forever and it never's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But did any business make any money from anywhere? Is it through the CARES that the businesses get it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But that was for May. If you add $1,200 – now, businesses is different.
Yeah.
But if you add $1,200 stimulus for the everyday people, divide it by the number of days since the stimulus last was doled out,
yeah,
it's $5 a day.
No, I know that. Okay, that money is terrible. It's nothing. Up here, we're giving $2,000 a month. I don't – most people, even students, got that money. We are much more efficient at giving it out. Mm-hmm. And businesses, small businesses get up to $60,000 now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we're doling out money we don't have like crazy. And I have a funny feeling I know what's going to happen with that.
And you're right. I keep giving you the credit. I'm like, how did you know that America was the target? But clearly – America's the target. If you look at what's happening in cities right now with the – forget the riots, the fake riots. Well, they're not fake. They're manufactured. But if you look at the number of businesses that are not open, it is frightening.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's – well, yeah. The guy – I posted a video of a guy walking around London, England.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he was accused of providing fake video, he said, in the previous months or weeks. So he said, no, I'll do it again. I'll walk around. And this person beside me is my witness, and yeah, it's worldwide, but the target is the United States. They're smashing Britain really hard too, and I think it's easier in Britain because I don't know exactly the levels of government, but they have city, they have counties, but the counties appear to be quite weak, and it seems like everything is centralized on a federal level. So the prime minister has a ton of power.
The crime minister.
The crime minister has a ton of power. He's more of a dictator than any president could even dream of being because he has almost absolute power. It's crazy how the British parliamentary system is set up. It's the same here where we are on a provincial. Well,
it's perceived power.
Well, it is bestowed to them. But you guys are not set up the same way. I keep saying this. The United States is the best set up for decentralized. It's harder for a king to take over. Now, there's all kinds of ways around it, and they're using every single one of them, but it's still much more easy to do it in a British system like Canada or England. But anyway, so what do the businesses get? What kind of, they get CARES money. So are all these businesses just hoping to say, listen, let me collapse. I don't really want to go through all this for various reasons. Do they get money?
From my understanding, they have to take some of the money and hire people.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're behind on rent, they get to use it for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the consensus seems to be, well, this is all going to go away on November 3rd.
Yeah. So everyone,
I wish there was a stock market that I could bet the farm that this is not going to not only go away November 3rd, but be the beginning of the absolute hell on earth. That is going to come soon after.
Uh-huh.
I wish I could take that bet. I wish someone would bet me that.
Well, I think you can invest. Maybe Bitcoin might be a way to hedge.
Funny you say that. We should talk about that, but we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you wanted to talk on that. I don't know a lot about it, so I'm not a great, excellent resource, but I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, that's the thing about Bitcoin. Well, let me just make the announcement. I'll give you guys an exclusive here.
Uh-huh.
I am Xclave, the thing that I'm building, the country within a country, will go exclusively cryptocurrency, no Visa, no MasterCard, no check, no cash, no nothing, on November 3rd.
All right. Well, let me know how you implement that.
Full in on that. Been looking at it since April. The problem with crypto is it's just like any other industry, any other currency, any other government involvement. It's littered with scams and hustles and money grabs. We're given this idea that crypto is a way to avoid the banks. Did you hear about PayPal?
Yes, they're taking crypto. I heard that on a number of fronts. I think they're going to take Bitcoin, but they're doing it in a different way where they hold the Bitcoin.
Right.
They won't let you pay with Bitcoin. They won't let you. They won't. They won't pass the Bitcoin through to the vendor. They'll take it and hold it. So it almost seems like they're trying to hedge because they see the future. Whoever owns PayPal, they see it as a great way to get Bitcoin because clearly they're hedging that it's going to go way up. So they'll give the fiat currency US dollars out or whatever the currency is in the jurisdiction they're operating, but they'll keep the Bitcoin.
See, you just, it's not your fault. You just repeated all the problems that there are with money and Bitcoin and crypto. You just said fiat currency. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you 99 out of 100 people who listen to us do not know what fiat currency is.
I barely knew what it was, but I have a general idea about it. And it's only because I'm starting to look into Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never really cared too much about the whole money story. But as I expound and expand my theories on what's happening with the currency, listening to Jeff from the Dollar Vigilante,
he's trying to
figure out what he's talking about. Because I never paid attention to it either as much because I didn't think it was necessary. But I'm trying to figure everything out just by listening to whoever I can.
Well, that to me is a psyop. I am sure of it that you – because I fell for that psyop in April. Andrew, Truth34, is the one who recommended to me that we go crypto. And the reason I said that is I literally lose sleep every night worried that when we build Xclave and it gets too big that – Uncle Visa and Uncle MasterCard and Stripe are going to they're going to take the funds out. They're going to steal it. They're going to make it so we can't accept funds anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The concept with Bitcoin is that it circumvents the fiat, the government, and goes directly to the source. But you see, that's not true. Today, I have a quick story for you. Today, I set up a Bitcoin wallet, which is incredibly hard to figure out how to do. It shouldn't be. It's actually pretty simple. I'm like, how do I put $5 in? I want to test sending myself some Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So before I tell you what I went through, how would you do that? If you wanted to test send something besides your donors, I know you got two people who've done it.
Mm-hmm.
How would you go about sending yourself some crypto? Do you know how?
Yes. You have to buy your Bitcoin first. You have to have some. I have some now because I figured I put my wallet address out there at fakeologist.com/donate.
Yep.
I have many wallets, by the way, because I was trying to install wallets on my phone and every time I installed it, it wouldn't show up on my phone. It's the only app that I ever installed on the phone that I'd say, okay, where is it? I can't find it. And I still have two wallets that I can't literally find like any other app on my phone. I have to go through.
And if there was money in those, you would lose that money.
I understand that. Yeah, you lose your wallet, you lose the money. It's cash. It's like cash. There's no central bank to say, hey, somebody stole it or I forgot my password. I realize that. So I'm pretty.
Actually, you can get it back, but it's very hard.
Okay. Well, that's why I don't have very much money there because I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm not going to transfer 10,000 Canadian dollars into Bitcoin and then lose it the next day. I'm just playing with it. I'm going to just play with small amounts that if they go away, then too bad. But, I was having difficulty with the wallets too, because I don't know which wallets to get and I use Google searches to figure out the best wallets in Canada and whatnot, because it's different than the wallets are pretty universal, but buying the Bitcoin is different wherever you are, usually.
Yep.
But anyway, there is a pretty big company that may be worldwide that was recommended here in Canada called Coinbase, which is an exchange. So they will buy and or sell most cryptocurrencies. So you can flip them in and out of fiat currencies, as far as I know.
Right.
And you don't need to use their wallet. They're an exchange. So you can buy the crypto and send it to any wallet you want, or any wallet. And there's actual physical wallets, and I don't know exactly how they work. You can get a USB wallet.
They're called, cold hardware wallets. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know of any examples right now, but that's a physical wallet. You can have the wallet on your computer, desktop, on your phone, and basically, move money around there. So that's as far as I've gotten. And a couple of people, as you know, said they'll only send me money if I have a Bitcoin address. And I didn't really want to set up yet another way to do it because it just complicates things. I set up a P.O. box basically just for Rolo. But just the cost of the P.O. box for the year kind of cancels out the donation.
I'm confused. Why'd you set up a P.O. box for Rolo. Verification?
For Rolo. Yeah, because he said he'd only send me cash, which is fine.
Well, he could have sent it to your house.
Yeah, I don't want him.
I understand.
Do I want Rolo on my doorstep? Because Rolo will be on my doorstep.
Send the cash to my house, just like Bush says. Send the cash to me.
Yeah, just send cash. We don't need blankets or water. Just send your cash or whatever he said. Yeah, but Rolo, yeah, you're a good guy, but he can't come over. So he set up the Bitcoin thing. And immediately I got a couple shots in.
Who set up the Bitcoin for you?
I did. I got the Bitcoin wallet and just put one of the wallet addresses on my website.
Right.
And if anyone sent it, great. I just said someone send me $1.19 and let's see if it works. And I did it shot right in. So it works. And I think it's the future. And I have a funny feeling. This is one of my many theories that a lot of the Great Reset, one of the biggest things is the digital currency.
But their digital
currency. That's right. Their digital currency. Because I think that, and Jeff said this in his Bitcoin book that I just started reading, we're at the point with currency where the power is back with the people again for now. Because you don't need a bank to exchange goods and services.
But, it comes with a big but. I'll ask you the question again. If you wanted to put a $5 cash into your Bitcoin wallet, how would you go about doing
it? I'd go to Coinbase. It's an exchange.
Yeah. $5. Not $100.
$5 would probably be wiped out by the fees to buy it.
Exactly.
So you have to buy, you'd have to buy enough to not get it wiped out by the fees. So I don't know what the minimum is yet. I think on Coinbase, it says the maximum I can put in per day or per transaction is $300 Canadian.
Okay.
Maybe it's just because they don't know me. I don't know. And the fee works out to about 4%, which seems pretty high.
But how would you fund it?
You can pay with your credit card.
It's 4%?
I got the idea it was 4%. I saw numbers like 1.5% if you're in the U.S. So they were much lower.
No, that's one way. There's two ways.
There's many ways.
There's the speed and there's all kinds of fees.
There's many ways to buy Bitcoin. You could go to your probably a Bitcoin dealer, like a convenience mart, and if they're authorized, you can pay them cash and they'll sell you Bitcoin.
Okay, so let me just tell you the story, what I went through. It's the most ridiculous fucking thing ever. I'm looking at the receipts on my wall. I went to, what's that called where you turn your coin? Coinstar. Went to Coinstar. Mm-hmm. And it says, buy your Bitcoin here. I'm like, great. And then I went to their website. They're like, well, you can't bring your coins to get Bitcoin, but you can bring dollars.
Okay.
So I took $5. I give out tips all the time. I had a $5 bill in my car. I put it into the machine. Has all this stuff that they tell you about, how they guarantee the price for 5 minutes. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Well, what they don't tell you is you have to go to – it's called coinme.com, which is some affiliation with
– Right.
You have to give your social security number.
Yeah.
Your driver's license front and back, your address, your cell phone number, fine. I'm like, okay, I just want to get the damn $5 into my Bitcoin wallet to see how this works. By the time I did all those things, what took forever because the credit card – or my driver's license was too shiny, couldn't see the picture.
Yeah, yeah.
So it went from $5 that I put in down to – it was 4.8 because it was a 4% coin whatever fee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then I went to try to send that money to my wallet. There's not enough money in to do it because the fee is higher than the $4.80 to send it.
Right, yeah.
So not only is this incredibly expensive – oh, and by the way, because I missed the 5-minute deadline – and because the price of Bitcoin went down, it went down 11%. Mm-hmm. My $5 went down 11%.
But you never got the Bitcoin, did you?
Yeah, I did get the Bitcoin.
Oh, you got it and it went down. Okay. But tomorrow it might go up. It is a fast moving. It is a very fast moving. Yeah, Bitcoin is down 3.27% right now. Today. Now, no, it's a 24-hour trade. It's always 24. Trading. It's not.
That's what I meant by today. Today.
No, right now. Yeah, I guess it's in the last. Yeah, in the past 24 hours. I'm just reading the screen now. So it always gives the last 24 hours. Normal markets are only open during business hours. Crypto is traded 24/7, I believe.
Right.
So that's another interesting thing. Ethereum is down 5%. Bitcoin Cash is up.
Now, Ethereum is a scam also.
I don't know. I'm not calling Bitcoin a scam.
I'm calling it. I'm saying okay. I'll tell you
it's
why.
Not.
There is no one knows the number of whatevers they call it with Ethereum. With Bitcoin, every ledger has the exact same number of shares, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Bitcoins, whatever. Ethereum doesn't. So that's rife for
okay,
fraud.
There are 7,000 cryptos from what I read.
I know.
There's a lot.
I know.
And Jeff is pumping Monero. I don't see it on my list here.
Yeah, he's pumping and dumping, right?
I don't know. Whatever he's doing, he's flying around in planes.
That's how you're able to afford
Hey, listen,
that.
I've been scammed by the best. I'm leery of scams. I would never put all my money in anything
right.
at all. But I still think the future could be crypto because you can't just dump a trillion cryptos into the market to see what happens. And that's where we are now, I believe, with the fiat currency.
I'm attracted to crypto not because of any of the things we just talked about. I'm mm-hmm. attracted to crypto, and I'm shocked you haven't brought this up, is because they're all conspiracy theorists.
There's so much. There's probably tons of illegal money pouring into it because, as you know, when you you may not know and I don't know, but when you have tons of cash from a cash business, which is underground, illicit, illegal, mm-hmm. you need to put mm-hmm. your money somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to pretty much give your left nut to open up a buy or sell account. And I had to on one I wasn't sure where to buy it, so I set up an account where in one place. The guy made me the system made me write a note saying I am doing this of my own volition on a piece of paper, hold up my identification, my driver's license, and hold all that up in front of my face and take a picture and send it to him.
I forgot to mention that. You have to take a picture of your face, too.
Right. So they're just trying, I suppose, to prevent or slow down illicit transactions.
No. Well, illicit to the government.
Well, yeah. If the government decides to – see, it's like anything else. If it becomes really big and any problems occur, if they do a Hegelian dialectic on this thing – then people will beg for the government to regulate it.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing that can happen.
Right.
It really is. So, and the way I understand crypto works is if someone's not happy with the way Bitcoin operates, you can fork it like software and take it down another road where you have your own specific rule to make it more secure, whatever, however you want
to say. According to Nate Szabo, who apparently is the person who invented Bitcoin, he denies it.
Well, they say that was a pseudonym, and it was Sakamoto. Something Sakamoto. They said, I read just in Jeff's book.
It's Satoshi Nakamoto.
Right. They said that was a pseudonym.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Nick Szabo. I would bet all my Bitcoin on that. So look into Nick S-Z-A-B-O.
Okay.
He's probably the guy. And he said they will never fork it because they've had many opportunities to do it. That's what keeps it so awesome, blah, blah, blah. So probably not going to happen.
And there's the Euro. The Euro boys, they're probably trying to make their own crypto that becomes de facto. And the U.S., they're going to be way behind or wait for someone else to do it and then try and do it better. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But whatever currency, I think it's a race for acceptance. And if you could buy something, a currency that can't be diluted, and right now they're diluting the hell out of all the currencies where they're becoming worthless.
That's right.
And the trick I was alluding to that I think they're doing now is what they're doing is they're loaning out tons of money as the economy collapses, as they're collapsing it deliberately.
Yep.
And then they're going to give out all this money to everyone saying, okay, here's $100,000. You can pay it back in 2 years. It's like a drug dealer. Here's some heroin. It's free. You don't have to pay me for 2 years, but you're going to need the heroin every single year to stay alive because otherwise you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Because coming off the heroin is worse than being on it.
Right.
And that's what they're going to do with the money. So then you're going to be someone else, you're going to be $1 million in debt and they're going to come. And this is where this letter, this so-called leaked letter from a Canadian committee member comes in. And I thought it was a psyop and fake, but there could be.
I know
you're
on me about that.
There could be. Well, everyone was. It blew up. I sort of thought it was fake. But the main truth to maybe take out of it is that if you owe all this money, and you might not even owe it today, but if they make you take it like a drug dealer because they're going to collapse every single business, including yours, around you. So we're all going to have this huge debt and they're going to come to us and say, listen, here's the deal. We'll wipe out all that debt that we pushed on you. And they do this with countries too, by the way. They've done it forever.
IMF. Yep.
Right. And we'll wipe out the debt. You just have to give us all the assets that it was secured by and then promise that you'll never own anything again. No car, which speaks to your idea that you will never be able to buy a car in the future. It ties in with that. You won't be able to buy a house. You'll have to rent it. You'll have to use the money that the new crypto or digital currency that they give you, and you'll have to live where they want you to live, and you'll probably have to do the job they want you to do because we need plumbers over here. We need truck drivers over here. We need shippers over here. We need Amazon workers over there. If you want the money, you're going to have to go to this house that we've got for you. And it's a total communistic dictatorship. And
I think it's even worse than that. And I don't hear anyone talking about this. If you own everything, like you did everything they told you to do to be a good citizen, you know, don't go into debt, pay off your bills, all that kind of stuff. They're going to literally do an eminent domain on you. They're going to be like, you no longer own the house. We do.
Mm-hmm. But what would the compensation be? Nothing?
Don't know. Mm-hmm. But this is what I'm hearing.
What do you do to the people that, like me, that didn't go away, didn't really enjoy too much, save, sacrifice, scrimped, so I have some kind of possibility of retiring and to stop working before I drop dead? What do they do with people like us that aren't in severe debt?
Well,
will they just put us into debt?
I'm in severe debt because I knew 20 years ago I knew they were doing this. So that's why. Why do you think I bought 3 cars this year? I leased them. Why do you think nothing is in my name? Why I don't own anything? Because Alan Watts been talking about this for 20 plus years, that this is what they were going to do, and they're doing it. So don't put us in there. That's not me. We're literally looking for another new car this week because I know what's coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to get a new car. I should tell you that story. I'll tell you some other time. I want to go back to real quick because I'm looking at the clock and
yeah.
I know you work.
I do need my sleep.
Exactly. So do I. that I do need. Oh, business license. Back to this woman in the business.
Mm-hmm.
She was all excited. She's like, yeah, not only did we – the most important thing is we won the lawsuit,
mm-hmm.
but we got our business license back. I said, that is the worst news I've ever heard in my life. I said, do you understand that business license is your tentacle to the government?
Mm-hmm.
That with that business license –
that's your rope. That's your rope.
That's your rope, right. You're paying for your chance.
Yeah.
You're literally – if they tell you have to close down because you the COVID thing – because your business license. They tell you, you know, all these things that rope you in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do what you can? Talk to your attorney, not your lawyer. She didn't know most people don't know what the difference is. Talk to your attorney and ask your attorney, should we get rid of our business license? What would happen to us?
Talk to John Jay. That guy's a genius.
Yeah, he's very good. Very good.
Talk to John Jay. He probably would tell you to start a private club.
What is what's his website again? I'll put it in the notes. John Jay.
Privacy Advocate. He's got another one, Ace of Coins. So he's into crypto too. Aceofcoins.com. He advises you on how to invest. So aceofcoins.com. That's him.
Okay.
And he's also, I don't think he has a link to his site. He's Privacy Advocate.
I'll look it up. What's his last name again?
It's John J. Singleton. Yeah, you're the truth sleuth.
Yep, yes, I am. Pulling John up an old name of mine.
John J. Singleton, privacyfight.com.
Okay.
I found it. And he's also Ace of Coins.
Yep.
Good guy.
I know he's not a big fan of mine right now, but that's okay. Maybe I can win him over.
Why is he not a big fan of yours? He probably doesn't even remember you.
Oh, no, he said he would trust Peggy Hall over me any day, and I don't think he's ever heard of me in my life.
Well, he was just talking. He's such a nice guy. I'm sure he could even get along with you.
into crypto, I want to definitely talk to him about that.
Yeah, right on Privacy Fight is on the top. 5 concepts for Bitcoin taxes.
There you go. Because at Exclave, we don't pay taxes, and that's why I love the idea of crypto, because there's no tracking. Now, let's talk about privacy. Here's the problem. With you putting your Bitcoin wallet address up mm-hmm. on the internet, that is a huge, huge privacy problem.
I saw that. I was surprised. But again, I had no idea what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. But no one else does either. That's the problem. Crypto, like any other new thing, has a terrible marketing problem. Terrible. Mm-hmm. It's awful.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is you need to have software that will as soon as you get a donation, creates a new Bitcoin key. Wallet
yeah.
hash.
You're right. You're right.
Because now, as I showed you privately, mm-hmm. I can see all your transactions. I can see your donors' transactions. I can take the donors' transactions and look it up on the web to see who they are. There's all kinds of problems with that.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you go to Coinbase right now, mm-hmm. coinbase.com, and you go to the Discovery tab, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let's see if I can look it up. Discovery. You can't find it. Anyway, that's how when I sent you that thing.
Yeah.
I was able to reverse engineer everyone's transaction. And if I were to go sleuthing even more, I could probably find out who it was.
Okay. Even I don't know who sent me the money.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's one of the benefits that they push about crypto is it's mostly private.
Well, it's decentralized, and it can't be inflated, hyperinflated. I think that's a strong thing. And my point was, if they can – if one of these catches on in a super widespread way,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily to dominate the world, how are the central banks going to control the economy and control the people. Because that is the only way you can control people is with their money system. You get control of that, you can do whatever you want. Now, if we all stop believing in the United States dollar, then the gig is up.
Well, that's with any currency.
Yeah.
Religion.
That's the problem. So if I think maybe, and this is the same with the internet, and this is what Jeff said in his book. He said, in 1990, we got the internet. So therefore, all the gatekeepers of the media suddenly, that was the frontier of them losing power. Because I can start a website, it's just this, it's the same accessibility as a big newspaper's website. Well, obviously I don't have marketing and people behind my website. We're still on the same plateau. So if I start putting out something interesting, I could be just as busy and influential potentially as a big old newspaper. So that changed the whole way we get our information. And look how long it's taken to really, really come to a good way where so many people have so much more influence than any of the old ways we used to get our information. I don't get my information from the local news. I don't read the New York Times. I get my information from my favorite truth tellers.
Yeah.
And I only want their stuff because I want their filter. I want them to look at it through their eyes because I trust them. I don't have time to figure out what the New York Times is thinking. I don't give them any time. So what if crypto is at the same stage where now all these guys that control the central banks or these big families, now they're at a turning point where they see, oh, this is very dangerous, these decentralized currencies. What if everyone starts to just say, to hell with the Canadian dollar, the US dollar, I'm going to take Bitcoin. And I even told some of the people I transact with in business, I said, get a Bitcoin wallet because I wouldn't mind paying you in Bitcoin, especially since you don't want to pay taxes. A lot of people, there's a huge economy, as we all know.
But here's the problem. That will never, for the vast majority of people, work that way. They will go to a custodial bank who through convenience will complete, like PayPal, will complete the transaction and bam, there's your tax.
I understand that. But if they look at PayPal, PayPal is now actively throwing truthers off and completely disorienting them for a period of time. Another reason why I accelerated my look into something else, because people are being thrown off PayPal. Yep. And they've made that their only lifeline. Well, because it's the most convenient. But I'll close my PayPal account tomorrow if they're acting this way. And I'll just tell people, if you want to support me, it has to be through tinfoil and cash in the mail. Or a Bitcoin or an Ethereum or whatever. Or don't give me anything.
What are you going to do when cash is gone? Let me tell you something. I was at the store today.
I agree. Cash is disappearing as fast as they can make it.
Every self-service kiosk, no cash here. Every single one.
I know. And they're taking all the ATMs out because cash is COVID dirty. I get it. And it's great.
So what are you going to do? What are the Amish going to do?
Womp them.
What does that mean? What's wampum mean? Is that like an Indian term?
Yeah, wasn't that their currency?
You're being serious. Wampum. I don't know. What is it? Smoking
wampum is a traditional shell bead of the Eastern Woodlands tribes.
Yeah, but
of Native Americans includes shell beads.
You're fooling around, but who's going to take that? No one's going to take that.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, but if there's 7,000 cryptocurrencies out there all with their own features. And if
one top five are Bitcoin, Ethereum, Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, and Ripple.
Right. So if any one of those becomes, if I can pay somebody a service and they're going to take and believe in Bitcoin, it's going to really hurt the central bank's control.
No. That's what I'm trying to say. No.
Why not?
I'm going to tell you. Just what happened today, because it is super hard right now to set up your own wallet.
I know. Right now, though, it's still in the Genesis phase. It's still not ready for prime time.
But when you got PayPal, like, there are 346 million users. There are 30,000 businesses that will accept PayPal. That's the big thing. That will
I know that. So but
you're going to get your tax that way.
I know that, but PayPal is already squeezing people just to
stop them.
They're trying to stifle the truth teller. So it's going to be really hard for people to tell the truth about Bitcoin, about what's going on, because they're just squeezing their lifelines right now.
And
it's a race against time between the people that are telling the truth about currencies, about COVID, everything. It's a mad dash. It seems like we're running.
I don't even think 20 years from now, 0.1% of transactions will be peer-to-peer Bitcoin. Not even 0.1%.
Well, listen, the thing is, if they take control of the money system by not bankrupting everyone, and you have to take their crap money to eat.
Yeah,
that's how they're capturing the market. That's how Google captured the market. They gave away all their services, and you're addicted to them. You can't get off, or you're too dumb to get off. Right. That's how you capture a market and become a monopoly. We get it.
Right.
That's how the drug dealer works.
I'm very suspicious about crypto. That it came from this grassroots.
Of course you should be. Of course.
What's that?
Of course you should be. You should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe the bad guys are behind it. We don't know.
100%.
Yeah. So what are you going to do?
All I'm going to do is take it starting next week. But all I'm saying is this idea, when I keep hearing all these crypto experts out there, and I want to be friends with them because they're conspiracy theorists and they might join Xclave. Mm-hmm. But I know that the fiat masters of the world are going to own 99.99% of the transactions 20 years from now. For a fact. I'll make that bet too.
Okay. Well, I gotta bug out. We can reconvene during the week. I have no problem. There's so much to talk about every night. I could go on every night probably. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And talk. We don't even talk about the stories of the day, the blogs, what's happening in the world. I definitely want to convene a summit of young people like your son, that would be fantastic. I would just, you know, my wife ran in here and told me to shut up. She said I was talking over your son, so I feel bad about it. I was just trying
to. I thought you were great.
I was trying to keep things moving, but I really want to get a summit of those people, because most young people don't even know how to talk, because they don't talk. They text.
That's right.
They don't experience the human interaction. And I'm not that much better, but for God's sakes, you got to use your voice and words and hear people and hear how they're receiving you. And you can't get any of that through texting.
Yeah, as much as Ty talking to you seemed like a genuine surprise to you, it's actually way more of a surprise to me that he's talking right now, because I know every day he's on his phone and he avoids me, and you know, because I'm dad. So I am this is like the greatest couple weeks of my life. I'm so proud and so happy that that's happening. You have no idea.
No, I think it's fantastic.
I might actually cry. If I cry, it'll probably get more listens. So maybe I might do that. But yes, yeah. I'm very happy about that.
I'll put the title of the show will be Marcus Almost Cries.
No, so you can say I cried. That's fine.
Or Does Marcus Cry?
Actually, I don't know if you noticed the way I word my podcast. This is marketing 101 stuff. There's a word. I know you're into my word so and they.
Yeah.
Did you notice there's always the same word in every show name? See how good you are with the patterns.
Well, your show hasn't been very regular lately.
Yep.
Let's see.
But if you look at my feed, mm-hmm. which doesn't matter how regular.
This is. Mm-hmm. This is this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I recommend you use that in your headlines.
Okay. That is, how does it work? And why does it work?
I don't know. I'm looking at my wall of the words. Get advantage, fast gain, guaranteed help, truth, this, these, blank to avoid, is blank worth it, if, do, are you, how to, lose trust, tips solved, techniques revealed, and I can't see the last one. So when I go to write a headline, I make sure I look at my master list.
Okay. I will
marketing think. Is everything in life is about formulas.